Welcome to Family Talk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. We hope you're having a great day. I'm Ryan Dobson, and I'm here with our host, psychologist, best-selling author, and my dad, Dr. James Dobson. And today we're bringing you one of the shows we recorded at the American Association of Christian Counselors Conference held in Nashville, Tennessee, back in September. And there was a ton going on at that conference, wasn't there, Dad?
No. You know, Ryan, we had about five or six members of our staff there. You and I were there.
There may be more than that. There was a bunch of us out there.
My goodness, it was busy. I just remember there were about 7,000 counselors there. You know, the Opryland Hotel there was totally taken over
100%
by what's called the AACC,
That's
American
right.
Association of Christian Counselors. And you and I were kind of at the center of the whole thing.
We had a ton of fun. You know, people ask me how you're doing all the time. How's your dad's health? That's what they want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, you were going from about 8 in the morning till about 10, 11 o'clock at night.
I was exhausted. I can tell you that.
The entire time we were there. Your health is doing fine. A lot of our listeners will already know this, and we have a lot more to say about this in the coming months. But we announced there our new partnership with Liberty University to create the James Dobson Center for Child Development, Marriage, and Family Studies. And it is exciting. There are a bunch of different levels of curriculum, undergrad, graduate, through AACC, there's certificate programs. In fact, Laura and I are going through your curriculum right now.
You're taking it.
That's right. We're watching your videos. I'm taking tests. I'm going to be an expert on you as if I wasn't already. Come on.
You know, Ryan, Liberty University is a very impressive place.
Mm-hmm.
For our listeners, if you haven't been on that campus, I was there about 30 years ago. It's changed a lot.
It's a small city now.
It is a small city. And to have the opportunity to work with that university and to create these online courses in this way and to have the undergraduate and graduate degrees that are going to be associated with it is something that we're very grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the hand of the Lord in it.
Absolutely. And one of the big players in this that helped it get along is our good friend, Dr. Tim Clinton. And today's program features Dr. Clinton about his new DVD series called Love on the Rocks.
You and Dr. Meeker interviewed him about this.
And it is fantastic. He is a longtime friend of the ministry. He's also the president of the American Association of Christian Counselors and a professor of counseling and pastoral care. And, if that wasn't enough, the director of the Center for Counseling and Family Studies at Liberty University. He's the author of over 20 books and the host of a radio program called Life, Love, and Family. He and his wife, Julie, have been married for over 30 years. They have two grown children. This DVD series grew out of his extensive personal and professional experience, and it's a great tool for couples struggling to keep their connection strong throughout the trials of life. So let's get into the program now so you can hear more about it. Now, you've got a new project coming out. It's called Love on the Rocks. It's a double DVD set. And the first one is How Couples Lose at Marriage. How is it that so many couples are losing at marriage? What's going on?
I know this, Ryan. When you look at the statistics on divorce, there's some debate out there about what are the real stats.
Mm-hmm.
But I think every Christian leader would agree that marriage is in trouble. But it's more than that. For me, it's about the emotional closeness and the love piece. I'm so deeply moved by how many empty, loveless relationships are out there. I've always said this, there's nothing more beautiful in all the world than to be in a relationship with someone who's supposed to love you, and they love you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing more painful
right.
in all
mm-hmm.
the world than mm-hmm. to be in a relationship with someone who's supposed to love you, and they don't love
they
you.
They don't.
It's a lonely place to be. I got interested, and we really built this video series out of a lot of history. And it goes all the way back, not too far from us here.
Mm-hmm.
You can see Julie. I remember the first time I saw her. Which she was.
Julie is your wife.
Yes. Julie, she was amazing. Beautiful, exciting, fun. And we quote, fell in love, and we're going to live off of love. We got married young. As a matter of fact, we went one semester in college,
mm-hmm.
dropped out. I worked for her dad for 6 months. That summer we got married. Julie was 18 years old. I'm 20. And we go back to school, back to Liberty University, a second semester freshman. The problem was we were so different, and we didn't know that much about love and marriage.
Well, you're kind of kids.
We were kids.
Kind of
kids.
Come on. They were kids.
Yeah. And you know
I'm 45,
this, by the way.
I look at freshmen.
If you're getting married and you're under the age of 20, your divorce rate's going up.
Yeah.
Tim, did anybody say to you, I don't think this is a good idea right now?
Nah, you couldn't talk to the two of us.
So it wouldn't have helped?
No.
Okay.
We were going to get married, and we did. And what happened, though, was we hit the wall pretty hard. Mm. And I remember being alone in our apartment. We're about 3 years into our marriage, and everything was gone. Julie and I loved each other. We kissed and held each other the night she left. The next day, the semester was over. I had to go into reserve duty. I was in the United States Army Reserve. I was going for a two-week tour, but everything was packed up and gone because while we loved each other, we just couldn't make it together. And I picked up the phone and called her. The only thing left in the apartment was basically a brown box with a towel over it, with a phone on it, and I had an old chair. I'm by myself. Even our car was gone. Everything was Julie's.
Did you
so
just
it was all locked
argue
up.
Or say there's just too much conflict? Or
Meg, it was everything.
Okay.
I think we worked opposite schedules. We didn't have any money. We didn't know each other. We were in school. The stress was through the roof. But I made a phone call. I have to talk to Julie. And her dad answers the phone.
Oh.
And we have small conversation. And I'm trying to say, hey, could I talk to Julie? And he says to me, Tim, listen, you know, I love and care about you, but I don't think you and Julie are going to make it.
Really?
That's not a good day. You know what I'm saying?
No, when your father-in-law tells you
that's
that.
That's not a good phone call.
Ooh,
no.
Wee.
And we talked for a moment. How was I feeling, Ryan?
Oh.
And I said, Clay, listen, I don't know what it is, but I love Julie, and for some reason she doesn't know that. And here's what I just want to talk to her. He said, of course you can. And I talked to Julie for a moment. I said, honey, listen, I've talked to my parents. I was a pastor's major, you all. I minored in Greek.
Oh, goodness.
I'm preaching up and down the East Coast. Okay? We're
and
married.
And your wife didn't know you loved her.
She didn't know. And I said, for some reason, it's dawned on me that you really don't know how much I love you. And for some reason, here's a big word, you don't feel safe with me. And I promise you, if you'll give me another shot, my mom and dad said they'll support me no matter what, and this is what I want to do. If you'll give me another shot, I'm going to spend the rest of my life making you know in your heart that you can be safe with me and that I love you. And she said, Tim, how long does it take you to drive to Montana? I said, I'll be there. I just drove straight to get to her.
Nice.
You hear what
in
I'm
Montana.
Saying? So I'm out there and just boom. I couldn't wait to get to her.
Yeah.
And I tell you, when we saw each other, it was different. Something had changed. That doesn't mean that all the hard work that we needed to do was gone.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something inside of us that clicked for some unique reason. I think it was of God. I think what happened was I began to understand that there were so many things that began to work against our affection or our love for each other in marriage and started creating what I call disaffection. All marriages are going to go through, here's a guilt-free drop, all marriages are going to go through periods of disaffection, times when things aren't close, when it's not the way it's supposed to be, when you're looking over at night at that person in bed with you and saying, God, I don't know what's happened to us.
Mm-hmm.
Problems will never be the issue, it's what you do in the midst of those that will determine your future. What started happening was this, and I spent the next basically 10 years of my life trying to figure out what works against our affection in marriage. And I started learning things like stress. And in my counseling, I know that if you enter at the wrong point, couples will not engage you. The stress factor with money. We didn't have any money.
Yeah.
Okay. We didn't know how to talk to each other. We grew up on different planets, if you will.
You were in school.
Listen, we had different interests and likes, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you throw these two people into this thing called marriage, and what? And you expect them to get along. Mm-hmm. We couldn't get along.
Mm.
And so in the midst of all this, what God started showing was the stress factor. I think satanic assault is a big issue. I think he knows if he can get your marriage, he'll profoundly influence you. He'll impact your children. He'll impact the church. The church doesn't know what to do with couples in distress. We think we do. We say we do, but we don't. And so we hold marriage seminars and remind couples who are hurting what they don't have. And so most people who come to marriage seminars are more discouraged than encouraged when they leave.
Mm. Yep.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yes. Mm.
Throw in, listen, elements like expectations that you bring to marriage. Throw in, I grew up as the microwave generation. We think if we send a text message or a quick phone call that somehow it repairs the disconnect or the emotional disconnect between us.
And that's fueled by media. They've done studies on that sitcoms are bad for marriages. They make fun of the husbands, things get wrapped up super quick, everything's fine, or reality TV where they scream and yell at each other and you think, oh, that's how a quote-unquote real relationship is supposed to act. I saw another study on chick flicks on those movies saying that setting up an unrealistic expectation for relationships, nobody can mimic a Hollywood script.
No.
Nobody does that. No one has those relationships. No one has those intimate moments. It doesn't exist out there. But you feed on those over and over, and you think, why don't I have that?
Mm-hmm. If Julie were here with us right now, what would she say about that period in your marriage?
I think she would say there were so many factors working against our love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But what happened is we began to engage in a negative communication pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, when you start studying marriage for a moment, you realize that oftentimes we begin to fight not to hurt each other, but to get each other to respond to us.
Yeah.
So we'll start criticizing the other person. And I'm not getting after her saying your mother did this to us or whatever. It's more of a, can't you understand what's going on?
Right.
And so I'm going to needle you for a moment to try to get you to understand and love me.
I need an emotional connection.
Why don't you?
You bet. Mm-hmm. And if you don't respond to criticism, we'll do things with maybe some more intention to hurt, contempt. These are some of the Gottman steps that people go through. And then even get to another level where even random acts of love begin to get denied or rejected. And we start feeling really unloved. Mm-hmm. And then some people get to a place where they stonewall. They actually just cut things off and they say, I promise you, I'll stay in this marriage, but you will never touch me or you'll never hurt me again.
Yeah.
You see, and what's scary is this, you all. I've learned through the years that all those everyday pressures that tear at love, they're not what really destroy relationships. It's enough to.
What really destroys relationships?
What happens is we get caught up in a cycle of disaffection. When you're hurting and you can't take it, your natural response, it's a reasonable response to an unreasonable situation. When somebody's hurting you or you perceive that they're hurting you, you will naturally disengage from them.
Mm.
Okay, so you move away from them, not toward them, which only creates a vacuum of more emptiness inside of the marriage. Now watch this.
It feels safe, but it isn't.
Exactly, and you're empty. Listen, there's so many listening right now. They're empty, they're exhausted, but yet they're expecting. All I've ever wanted, Tim, is for someone to love me. And so Julie would say this, all I want is the old Tim back, when we were crazy in love days. And see, here's this cycle. Watch how it kicks in. What she'll do is when she's hurting, she'll raise the bar. All I want is the old Tim back. Well, when we're in trouble, do I like Julie? Are we having fun on date nights? Have you ever been on a date night with somebody you don't like?
Oof.
Now think about it. Are we going to go out for a date night? Am I going to call her when we're hurting? No, because every time I talk to her, all we do is fight.
Right.
Think about this. Is it wrong for her to want the old Tim back or just want to be loved? No, because if she loses that's the death of desire. The anger of hope moves into the anger of hopelessness. Now watch, when she raises the bar and I don't respond, she'll bawl at it and she'll say, you see, the problem is you never show me you love me. No, the problem is if I respond to you, all we do is fight. So in this spin, what it does is it increases the negative interaction between us.
Sure.
See that? And we guilt and shame each other. The problem's you. No, the problem's you. If you would straighten things out, if you would become the godly leader in the home, then things would be different. Hey, when you're in the spin, what it'll do is it'll lead to a place when you have all this negative emotion, you begin to say, the truth is, this negative evaluation of the relationship comes out with statements like this. The truth is, we should have never have gotten married.
Mm.
You know that. We started out in the wrong foot, etc., which only, by the way, doesn't move us toward each other. This is the cycle. It closes the loop. Instead of moving each other, we move away.
Yeah.
And in this moving away, there's this place where the things that you loved about your spouse when you're hurting become the things that you hate in them. There's this pursuer, distancer pattern. The things I loved about you, I can't stand in you, which, by the way, closes the loop and leads to this state of disaffection where I'm empty, I'm exhausted, and all I want is to be loved, so I raise the bar, create more expectations that'll never be fulfilled. more negative emotion, more negative interaction, more what, distancing. And it's like this never-ending cycle where we get to a place, we dig our heels in and say, you know what, I'm never doing this again. And until Dr. Clinton, he does something, until you fix him, until you fix her, this marriage has no shot. And see, that's where you typically wind up coming in for counseling. And there are a lot of people out there in those loveless, empty, and these crazy cycle relationships. And the sad thing is, and here's something what I've done in the book and in the video series, okay, that we talked about, is if you can see what I just did to you, I gave you a reason for why couples get in trouble. How in the name of love, it seems like the more I try to love him, the more I try to love her, the worse things are getting. How in the name of love, you actually can lose it, love, in your relationship. Not condoning anything that he's doing or she's doing, but you can actually do that in your relationship.
So how do you break it?
That's a great question. You remember when you were a kid and you used to throw something in the bottom of the swimming pool and you're going to dive in to get it?
Yeah.
Is it where you think it is?
Nope.
No.
No. I remember when I was in seventh grade, a buddy of mine, Joe Kitchen, wore glasses to class one day. And they were the real thick ones. You guys remember when kids had those really thick glasses? And I said, Joe, let me try those on. Okay? And I put them on. And I was like, oh, my goodness. I can't see it. How do you see through these? See, most people are looking at their spouse through lenses of pain. And just maybe, and hear me, just maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Just maybe that what's happened in this process, that somehow in the name of love, you're trying to do good. You're trying to rescue the marriage. That you began to lose it, love, in your relationship. If that's true, okay, we can begin the healing journey. Because it gives a what for or why for in the midst of this. And it starts with, I know when couples are really hurting, they can't see the marriage often, but they know what they want. They want to be loved. And I take them back, first of all, to the love of God, that God's not abandoned them in the midst of this. So many couples feel broken. So many individuals think that God's not there for them.
Yeah.
And in that moment, I know the God of Hosea knows where you are at. And his heart is toward you. And here's all I want you to do. I want you to stand with me. And by the way, if you're in a place where the brokenness is so profound and you don't know what to do and you've tried and tried, that's where you want someone to come alongside of you. To help you stand and figure out here in these moments, maybe they seem like the last moments of your marriage, but that you will honor God and that you will do everything you can. We're not going to ask you to put up with pain or hurt or violence or anything. That's not what we're talking about. But in a right way, that you'll be guilty of trying to love with all your heart. That you'll give everything you can to fight in these moments. And then we've learned some key elements that you've got to do in these kind of distressed marriages. You got to do judicious editing.
What does that mean?
Judicious editing means that you have got to shut down the negative and increase the positive.
So you've got to be able to recognize the negative.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Yeah. Marital research shows that it takes 1 to 20 positives to counteract one negative statement in marriage.
Yeah.
So in order to do that...
I've studied that. Right, it's a
so
big...
First Peter 3 says it this way. You don't render railing for railing. In other words, you don't hammer on each other in the relationship. Most couples in pain, that's all they do. Tim, all we do is fight. That's all we do. Yes, that's right.
You got to stop that.
You've got, Ryan, you have to stop it.
Yeah.
And if you can let them see what was going on, the truth is I'm looking at both of them saying, you both are exhausted.
Yeah.
You wanna know, you know how I know that? Because Julie and I were. We couldn't take anymore. We knew how to just instantly go from 0 to 100 with each other and just torment almost our hearts. And we've got to stop that. And somehow in the midst of it, we've also got to encourage some soft love. If I can look at Julie with tenderness and say, she really feels like I do, then what I can do is I can back this off. I can take difficult issues and say, we're not going to talk about those outside of counseling or outside of a marriage mentor
couple.
That's a
big, big deal,
Ryan,
right there.
Listen.
Huge deal. My counselors, my wife and I go to counseling as preventative maintenance. Then we can talk about anybody okay because then we're safe. It's that safe area to do that in. And if people don't have that, you've got to get someone, a third party out there that you can deal with those big subjects with. It's worth it.
The word safety that you mentioned, it's at the heart of healthy relationships. And it's the hardest thing a counselor has to do is to create a zone of safety so people in the midst of it can feel like they can move toward each other. Because if I don't feel safe, I'll never move. No, I'm not doing that. Dr. Clinton, don't make me do that.
Can you describe what that safety is like? Because emotional safety, I think, is a little vague. Feels a little vague for some people, particularly people who maybe had abuse when they were growing up or something. So what does it look like for a couple to live in emotional safety? Is it just allowing yourself to be vulnerable, or is it, what does it look like?
Meg, every mom or dad listening right now, every son or daughter, flip it on its head, knows whether or not you're close. Mom, dad, you know whether or not you're close with your son or your daughter. Name them right now. In your mind's eye, think about it. You know whether or not you're close with Zach, Tim, with Megan. You know why? God wired us that way. That is how I define emotional closeness. You know right now whether or not you're close with Julie, Tim.
Perfect, yeah.
Yeah, you see that?
Yes.
So when you understand that, then you come back to the judicious editing piece. If I love her, I've got to stop this. We have to. Even more than that, I've got to let her know in some tender way that she'll be safe with me, that my heart's toward her. And part of that comes back to then this whole journey of forgiveness and honor and more in marriage. See, and I really believe that when couples who are out there hurting, and some are listening right now, I'm seeing flashbacks of days when it wasn't fun. Matter of fact, it was sad. The more you can begin to become aware of what's going on, the more you can learn about the importance of emotional safety together, that you've got to shut this down, and that you can bring forgiveness and honor into your relationship, you know what it'll do? It begins to allow you to become intimate, close at that level, Meg, where you begin to believe that you actually love each other. And again, there's nothing more beautiful in all the world than to be in a relationship with someone who's supposed to love you, and they actually what?
And you allow them.
Yeah.
And you allow them to
love
you.
You learn to love, and you allow yourself to be loved.
Be loved.
To be loved. That's a beautiful thing.
It is beautiful. It's terrifying, but it's beautiful. Yeah.
You know, here's what I think is happening right now, Tim. I think there are people who have a little bit of hope, and there are people listening who are in trouble that are afraid to have a little bit of hope. You know, you see them in your office all the time. I really want it to get better. I'm just afraid that it won't. I really want that. It's the fear of hope. But I think this series, I mean, it's Love on the Rocks. How many of us know that people are going through it? I mean, everywhere we turn, we've got to make it not embarrassing anymore.
Exactly.
Everyone goes through hard times. My goodness, my wife and I have gone through hard times. You and Walt have gone through hard times. It's not embarrassing.
You know what I learned too was when Julie and I crossed over that barrier, it allowed us to embrace God in a different way now. I think we tried to use God to control each other or change each other before that, and we could never get on the God piece together very well. We tried, but it didn't work. But when we stopped trying to change each other and simply embrace God in our marriage, began to pray for each other, and there were some just baby steps we had to take. Then you get to a place, now you realize, like Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. Every day it's more about, you know, I was just up in the room, and it's a beautiful thing to see your wife's Bible sitting on a chair. And she doesn't even know that I know where she sits to do devotions. And I know that she was on her knees while we're here praying that God would do his work in my life, in this conference, in our marriage, with our children and more. And I'll tell you what, Julie's fun, y'all.
Yeah. Tim, it's been so fun talking to you. And I can't wait for people to pick this up. Love on the Rocks. The first DVD is How Couples Lose at Marriage. And the second one is Coming Out of the Pain.
Two videos focus primarily on some of what we talked today. I take them through an in-depth look at how you get into a spin, how you get into the crazy cycle, and then how you can come out of that pain and begin to move into a world where you're free, where you're safe, where you actually get to a place where you can have fun and live your life well and know that God's heart is toward you.
Yes, exactly.
Tim, not only thanks for being here today, but thanks for all that you're doing with the AACC and all the curriculum things that we're doing with Liberty and you guys. We really appreciate it. It's fantastic.
We're excited.
Fabulous.
Great days ahead.
Thank you.
You.
Dr. Clinton is such a great teacher, and this DVD series is a powerful tool to help couples guard against the disaffection that can lead to distance and disrespect in marriages. And that's also what we strive to do at Family Talk. We want to support and equip couples to develop strong, healthy marriages, because strong marriages are the foundation for strong families. Our 2015 ministry and gift resource catalog features some of our best tools for building faith and family. You'll find books, CDs, and DVDs perfect for blessing anyone on your Christmas list. And every amount you donate for these resources will have twice the impact thanks to a generous matching grant from Friends of the Ministry. So download the catalog from our website, drjamesdobson.org, and help us stand for families. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless. Thanks for listening today, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.